Well, good afternoon. This is David here, and I am hoping to just speak something about the gospel of Jesus Christ by way of encouraging people to understand the gospel, to understand the truth of God's word. I believe Christianity is God's way of salvation. I believe that there is no other way of salvation, and that if we come to God through Jesus Christ, we will be saved. There are so many in the world today either who've never even heard the gospel, or if having heard it, don't understand its significance, its importance, or its power. Well, my hope is that I can teach something of this gospel today and show its importance, something of the character of God, something of the sinfulness of sin, and something of the greatness of salvation through faith alone in Jesus Christ alone. So I want to turn to the Word of God, the Bible, and read just a few verses from Psalm 103, verses 8 to 12. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Now, I want to focus on the first sentence of verse 10, where we read about God, and it says, he hath not dealt with us after our sins. Father, we pray that you would open our eyes and open our hearts to see the greatness of your salvation, the greatness of the work that Jesus Christ accomplished when he died upon the cross. We ask you give us understanding, and if we do not know Jesus yet to be our Saviour from sin, that you would open our eyes, that you would change our hearts, that you would bring us to the foot of the cross to receive that salvation which comes from him alone. This we ask and pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. So these are wonderful verses in Psalm 103 because they teach us about the character of God. Now, verse 10 and these words in verse 10, he hath not dealt with us after our sins, are really important. But we need to note that these words apply to Christians. And that's why I'm commending Christianity to everybody. He hath not dealt with us after our sins. These words don't apply to non-Christians. They don't apply to those who've never believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. So God isn't, it's not that God is universally forgiving everybody for their sins. So many will say, well, first of all, so many say to me they don't have any sin, and that makes them liars, the Bible says. But secondly, people then say, well, God will just forgive sin because God is God and that's his duty. But we don't get to say what God's duty is. God is somebody who does forgive sin and will forgive sin through Jesus Christ, his Son, and through faith in Jesus Christ. And that is an exceedingly glorious truth. But without Jesus Christ, there is no forgiveness of sin. So when we read, he hath not dealt with us after our sins, we are looking at God's dealings with Christians. As a Christian, I can say, God hath not dealt with me after my sins. If God were to deal with us according to our sins, then we would be in hell. But God has not dealt with us after our sins. So let's see something of the character of God revealed in this passage. God is holy, and God is a God, therefore, who cannot look upon sin. He's a God who hates sin. And he must hate sin because of his holy nature. Those who sin and think that God thinks nothing of sin and that they can sin any way they choose and that God will just overlook their sins or ignore their sins or just forget their sins, haven't taken into account the character of God, what God is like, that he is holy and that all sin is against him. But in verse 8 here, we read, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. God could just have cast us off already. He could just have turned his back on us, and he could have revealed his wrath against us already. And at any time he could have called us away to judgment. But here we read something extraordinary about the character of God, about who God is. One of the most important things we need to know in this day and generation is who God is. Because there are so many gods. Gods of the nations, which are idols. Gods which are not the God of the Bible, gods who aren't the true and living God like the God of the Bible. But here we read that the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. We read of a God who, although he must judge sin, and although he hates sin, is merciful and gracious. He delights to show mercy. He's gracious. He comes to his enemies, sinners, and he gives them a way of salvation, a way of forgiveness, a way of grace. Salvation, the forgiveness of our sins, the removal of our sins, is by faith alone, in Jesus Christ alone, the Bible teaches us, by grace alone. God is merciful and gracious. He is slow to anger. And whilst every sin is a provocation to God, and we who are sinners by nature, that's every person alive today, we who are sinners by in the world today, we who are sinners by nature and have provoked God to the uttermost by our sins, yet God is slow to anger. Perhaps he gives us a little time, but we don't know when that time will come to an end. But even so, God is slow to anger and he's plenteous in mercy. He is a God who delights to show mercy. He is a God who is full of mercy. He is a God who has revealed his mercy. Now, when it comes to you or me, know this, that if we die in our sins, we will perish in our sins. But God delights to show mercy. And if we repent of our sins and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, God will show mercy to us, plenteous mercy, as verse 8 there. So the character of God is revealed in this psalm, the character of God as a holy God, but as a merciful God, a God who is provoked to anger by sin, but a God who is slow to take that provocation up, and a God who delights to show mercy. We have this problem of sin, and sin is universal. You are a sinner, and I am a sinner. And sin is exceedingly sinful before Almighty God. Every sin will receive its just recompense and reward. One lie would see us cast into hell forever. The thief will have their place in hell. The sexually immoral and impure will have their place in hell, and so on. But this is a problem of sin. As I've said already, God can't just overlook this problem. God must deal with this problem. And one way he could deal with it was just by sending everybody to eternal judgment. And if he did that, his righteousness would be upheld, his character would be upheld. But God is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. It was the will, God's eternal will, to send his Son into the world, the Lord Jesus Christ, to come into the world to solve the problem of sin. And sin is a very big problem. It separates us from God. It kills us spiritually so that we're spiritually dead. It condemns us to hell. This is the problem of sin. And God has sent his Son, Jesus Christ, into the world to solve the problem of sin. Now, nobody else and nothing else could do that. Nothing. Only the Lord Jesus Christ. So if we are to say that God had not dealt with us after our sins, then God must have dealt with our sins in some way other than by judging us. And this is the glorious, the extraordinary, the wonderful truth that God has not dealt with us after our sins if we are Christians, if we know Jesus Christ. This is the truth concerning you, that if you become a Christian, if you find Jesus Christ, you will be able to say, God has not dealt with me after my sins. Though every sin I have ever committed condemns me to hell, God has not dealt with me after my sins. And it's not that God hasn't dealt with me after one or two of my sins. All of my sin has been taken away. There in verses 11 and 12, we have this removing of sin, this taking away of sin far away, as high as the heaven is above the earth, verse 11, as far as the east is from the west. And the intention of these verses is to show us that our sin is taken so far away, it no longer has any connection or anything to do with us spiritually. And the only person that can remove sin from us like that is God himself. The only person who could do something that could actually accomplish the removal of our sins, so that God would no longer see us in our sins and no longer deal with us after our sins is God himself. God the Father sent God the Son into the world to deal with sin. So sin has to be removed. Your sin has to be removed in order for you to go to heaven. Your sin has to be removed in order for you to be forgiven. Your sin has to be removed in order for you to be saved and for you to have salvation and everlasting life. And God is in the business of saving sinners and removing their sins. If you're a Christian, of course, you can say this: God has removed all my sin, all of it. That's an absolute wonder to the Christian when he or she knows how great his or her sin is, and every day has reminders of the sinfulness of their own corrupted heart. They wonder how God could forgive them. They wonder how God could take away their sin. They're not concerned about other people because they say, my sin, I am the chief of sinners, I am the least of saints, yet God has removed all of my sin as far as the east is from the west, as high as the heaven is above the earth. God has removed my sin. And Jesus is the sin bearer, isn't he? Now, God hasn't just taken our sin and fly-tipped it somewhere, pardon me for using that expression, but God has taken our sin and dealt with it. He took our sin and he placed it on Jesus Christ. He took our sin so that Jesus on the cross of Calvary became the sin bearer. My sin was placed on Jesus Christ. Every sin that I've ever committed was placed on Jesus Christ. Every sin I ever will commit was placed on Jesus Christ on the cross. He bore all my sin. He bore all my sinfulness. He became sin for me. The Lord Jesus, who was holy and harmless and undefiled, who was a human being subject to weakness, yet also God, and that he was like us, yet without sin, became the sin bearer. So if God has not dealt with me after my sin, because I am a Christian, then he has dealt with Jesus Christ after my sin. Someone had to pay the price for that sin in order for me to be saved. Someone had to bear it. The Lord Jesus took it upon himself. The Lord Jesus loved me and took my sin upon himself, and all of my sin was judged in Jesus Christ. God has not dealt with me after my sins. Lies, swearing, all those other sins. God has not dealt with me after my sins, but he has placed those sins on Jesus Christ. He's not dealt with me after my sins. He has dealt with Jesus Christ after my sins. The Lord Jesus took it all. The Lord Jesus bore it all. That's how God, a righteous God, a holy God, can show mercy. That's how a righteous God can show his loving kindness to those who are lost. Jesus is the bearer of sin. Now, if you wish to know the forgiveness of your sins, some will say, well, God will just forgive sins, but God cannot just forgive sins. God delights to forgive sins. He is full of mercy and he's plenteous in mercy. He's merciful and gracious. And God desires your salvation. But he cannot just save. Sin is a reproach to him. Sin is an offense to him. Sin is a stench in his nostrils. You must turn to Jesus Christ. You must find the Lord Jesus Christ, and if you find the Lord Jesus Christ, you will find that living Saviour who will save you from your sins. And you may say, well, my sins are too bad, but they're not so bad that Jesus can't save you. You may say that my sins aren't that bad. You're deceiving yourself. If you say my sins aren't that bad, you're saying that sin isn't bad, but all sin deserves damnation and judgment. So there's no sinner whose sin is too great that they cannot be saved by the Lord Jesus Christ, and there's no sinner whose sin is so small that they do not need the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no such thing as a small sin before God. But God sent his Son into the world. God loved sinners like you and me. He sent his Son into the world to die for sinners on that cross of Calvary. And he will be your Savior if you trust in him and if you believe on him. Jesus Christ is alive today. Jesus is the Son of God. That means that the Lord Jesus, verse 8 again, is merciful and gracious and slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. God delights to show mercy. He is a merciful God, and his mercy has been set before us and it's been revealed to us. So if we turn from our sins and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, his death, his blood shed for us on the cross of Calvary, will be the means of our cleansing from all sin. God's mercy will be revealed to us, and we will have that salvation forever. And so we too will be able to say, when we find Jesus Christ, and when we find him to be that living Saviour and deliverer from all sin, that he hath not dealt with us after our sins. No, indeed, God has not dealt with us after our sins if we're Christians. He has dealt with our sins on the cross. The Lord Jesus has received our sins and received the judgment that we deserved. And we have gone free, and we are being washed and sanctified and made clean by the blood of Jesus Christ. Well, that's Christianity in a nutshell. God's way of salvation, God's way of substitution, God's mercy, God's goodness, God's salvation. Now, if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you repent of your sins and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, then this salvation, and this Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, will be yours forever. Father, we ask and pray for conviction of sin to fall upon the hearers of your gospel. Because, Lord, if we think we're not sinners, or we think our sin is small, then we are in peril. But if we start to see our sin as you see it, Father, then we cry out, what must I do to be saved? Father, if we are to be saved, we must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And my prayer, Father, is that this video would give understanding to those who are seeking, those who are drawn by your Holy Spirit to seek salvation, who don't know which way to turn, who feel the weight of their sins but have not yet found a Saviour or the Saviour, the only Saviour, Jesus Christ. And I pray, Father, that you would open their eyes, and I pray, Lord, that you would bring them to repentance, and I pray that you bring them to a saving, living faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Saviour of the world. This I ask and pray in his precious name. Amen. Amen. Amen.